Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest, Tyler Munn, Marketing Director at Bavis Fabricraft, which has officially become my favorite manufacturer name of the AIA show. I am in love with Bavis Fabricraft. I'm going to say that 5,000 times. Tyler Munn has been in the business-to-business marketing space for more than 15 years. Since joining Bavis Fabricraft, I get to say it again, in 2021, he's focused on updating the quality and accessibility of the organization's BIM library and improving relationships within the architecture and design community. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be in Boston. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me and taking time out. I know it's important and time is money in this business. I appreciate you coming to talk to me today and maybe teaching me a few things in the process.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. So let's start with my documents. So let's just go right there.
Sure.
I'm a spec writer, obviously, and in my day job. And I don't often, you know, I write my specs for the project. You know, your product might not be actually being installed for months.
Right.
Or a year or more. And maybe there's something I didn't get quite right in my specs, or maybe there is a thing that people always forget to specify with your product. That feedback rarely comes back to me that, oh, hey, you know, if we're specifying this particular thing, you got to make sure you specify this with it.
Right.
And so it makes it harder for me to grow and evolve as a spec writer and make sure I'm getting it right so that we don't have problems during construction. Nobody knows better than the manufacturer. We all have those things that, like, this happens every single time. If they just knew this, it wouldn't happen anymore. So tell me, how can I be doing, we'll start with the documents, the specs and the drawings. How could I be doing better, or what do people typically miss?
So I think the biggest thing that comes up on projects is you want to understand the minute details of our products. So when we're talking about security windows and transaction drawers, whatever options you leave off of there, the general contractor might have to make up for on the site. So like our windows, for example, you can get with trim or without trim. If you get them without trim, the GC is going to have to go back and fill that in the rough opening. So just little things that make life easier on the job site. The rough openings for windows and drawers is a huge thing that comes up. You know, making sure that if you're doing a multi-lane drive-through, the canopy has enough clearance and travel for the travel path for the pneumatic system or the carrier that you're using. So knowing the layout of your site, if you know the kind of peripherals you need, then you know where you need to run power inside the building, outside the building, if you need to run it to the island. So it's really just about getting those fine details. Like I said, if you can get something factory installed on one of our systems, absolutely do that, because our guys know what they're doing. Not that the GCs don't, but they're not as familiar with the product. So if it's like something as simple as a bin heater kit, you know, in a cold weather climate, you need that to keep operation of the drawer going. So they can do that out there. It takes time. And the more pre-planning you do, the more you write into that spec, you're going to eventually, that value is going to be passed to the customer, right? It's less chaotic on the job site. It's less disruptive on the job site. Things just go smoother. And that's what you ultimately want. You know, we've got sales engineers that have done this for a long time. And, you know, we're going to help you identify those options and those issues.
And that's really good advice about if it can be factory installed, getting it factory, that's one less step on the job site.
Right.
For every step you take on the job site, that's one more area where you could have a problem.
Right.
Everything you do on a job site, every single step is one more area you could or couldn't have a problem. So if you can eliminate a step or two, I'm interested about the trim. Do people really leave trim off?
Yeah, in some cases they do. And I think a lot of times it's because they assume things in the procurement process or in the planning process, or, you know, they think, a lot of people will assume that something will cost less if it comes with less things. But, you know, you're always going to pay for it in the end, right? Like, that's more work the GC has to do to close up that rough wall opening.
Right. You know? Well, I was going to say, you're going to have to close it up.
Right, right. And it's just going to look better with the trim, not to plug the product, but, yeah. You know. So, yeah, I think it's just an assumption. You know, what we do seems really simple on the outside, and it seems pretty straightforward. But as I found working here as long as I have, you're always learning something new, some nuance or something about, you know, a drawer or a window or how it gets installed or how it gets serviced. There is more detailed nuance and complexity to it than you might think just looking in from the outside.
One of the things that I have over the years found a little challenging sometimes, but I've also seen others who with less experience writing specs really kind of miss the boat is, okay, they're so focused on the system. Like, they get the window specified all great. And then the manufacturer has a list of 25 different accessory pieces that you can pick and choose from. And then the ball really gets dropped there.
Yeah.
Of choosing the correct pieces and parts for the installation that this is going into, like the trim.
Yeah.
Or just leaving the whole list there, not really thinking about, wait a minute.
Right.
Contractor knows this is three different types of the same thing. You're not using all three of these. You're using one of those three.
Yeah.
And that ends up being sometimes bid problems or installation problems. Well, you left them all in there, so the contractor picked one.
Look,
contractor only installs what's in the contract documents.
Yeah.
That's the only thing contractually they're required to do. You've given them three options. We don't want to give contractors options. We want to tell them exactly what they want.
Yeah, someone's going to call us, right? Do you want it to be you or do you want it to be the contractor? So someone's going to call us with those questions or with that issue at installation of like, I don't know specifically what's supposed to be here. What do you guys recommend? You know, we're going to field that question. We'd rather field it up front from whoever's doing the spec. We're pretty responsive. So, you know, like, again, please ask. We're here to help, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one problem I've seen in that scenario. Just left everything in because you didn't know what to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't take the time to call the manufacturer. Contractor goes in, they left all three in. I'm going to install the cheapest one.
Yeah.
That's going to cost me less money. I'm going to pocket. When I did my bid, I kind of figured it would be the high-end one, but that's not, they've got them all listed here, so they're saying I can make a choice.
Right.
I'm going to pocket a little extra money. I'm going to install the cheapest one. And then the architect goes out to, you know, do their weekly job walk, and they're like, well, what the heck is this? This is not what we want.
Yeah.
Guess what? We not only have maybe a major installation problem, especially if there's a lot of whatever it is being installed, but now you have a change order.
Yeah.
because the contractor has all the legs to stand on. You put all three of these in here. So that's telling me I can make my own choice.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really important with those accessory items, like the trim. You know, if it's not there, contractor doesn't have to do it. Maybe you right. wanted it. You just were in a hurry and only copied the window system and didn't copy the accessories from the manufacturer's information.
Yeah. The accessories are incredibly important. You know, I mentioned the bin heaters as an example. If you're in a cold weather climate, you know, the drawers all run on, you know, they use grease, and that's going to get mucky, you know, when it gets cold. And people think the bin heaters are there to warm your hands up, or they're not. They're absolutely not. It's just for the function of the drawer to keep it running smoothly during cold months. So it's those kind of things. Like you said, it's the details and knowing what you're looking at and making sure you research every option that's out there. And I think you brought up audio. That's super important. The drive-thru doesn't run without audio, you know, and I think that's something that you need to consider, the environment that you're in, what's next to the site. We've had installs where there was a drive-thru car wash next to the pharmacy, and that thing was just running constantly. And so you have a lot of ambient noise or environmental noise going on, or if you're next to a busy road, you know, the kind of audio you pick is going to be really important as well. So it's not just about your site. It's about what's around you. And that's going to impact everything that you pick in this system, really.
But yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've had to specify your type of products, but I have done it plenty of times. And I just learned a boatload in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know there were bin heaters, for one thing.
Right.
That would be, were I not to call you, I would see that. That would probably be something that I would go, that's stupid.
It looks superficial, right? Yeah, or like a money grab from us, right?
I'm sorry, but I'm not putting my hands in that bin to warm it. I'm dropping something in it.
Yeah.
And that's it. So it would probably, it could be a very instinctive thought to, I don't need that. Not understanding that it's more about the operation.
Yeah.
It's not about somebody's comfort, but that might be the first impression you get looking at it.
Right. Again, so, it comes back to a drawer is a drawer, right?
Right.
Stop trying to upsell me on these things.
Exactly. Yeah. That could definitely be an impression from somebody. And then, you know, you're in cold Michigan in the middle of winter.
Right.
And your drawer doesn't want to work. You might have a problem.
It comes back to the client, right? Everything that you spec into it, into the project, is all about delivering value to the client and making sure that they're happy. So, you know, we all want to take the time, or, you know, get it done as quickly as possible. As you said at the beginning, time is money, right? But it's really important that the client's going to be happier. They're not going to call us later and be like, your drawer doesn't work because it's December and we don't have a bin heater. And, you know,
and your architect, and you're telling the client, your architect clearly didn't do their product research, you know, because I'm sorry, this is a two-way street.
Yeah.
It is up to me as a specifier to understand why you have these components.
Yeah.
Not to look at the pretty picture and go, I want one of those, and then get the technical document and I don't need that when I don't really know its purpose.
Right.
Just because I have an impression that it's some stupid thing to warm somebody's hands where they would never warm their hands, you know, or I think that a lot of times things like that get missed because of that. People don't take the time to do the proper research of those different pieces and parts and what you need when and why you need it.
Yeah, I will attest, because I've heard the phone calls before. Pharmacies, banks, they get really, really upset when the drive-thru goes down and they need to take it out on someone. So they'll call us. So it might seem like kind of a set it and forget it. The project's done. We move on. But those choices you make impact that operation and that business for a really long time. You know, if you do a thorough job in the spec, these systems should last 15, 20 years with regular maintenance, like basic regular maintenance. If you don't do that stuff, you know, you're going to have breakdowns and no problem for you, but that client's going to be very upset. And if it keeps happening, you know, at some point they're going to be like, who designed this whole thing? You know, so again, it all comes back to client value. No matter which part of the project you're on, think about the client. Take the extra minute, do the pre-planning. They're going to be happy. It's going to go better for you.
So that's kind of naturally leading me into the next question. nobody knows better than the manufacturer of whatever product what kinds of things happen during construction that cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So let's just stick with this heater for a moment, because I think this is going to be a good example, because number one, I didn't know the thing even existed until this conversation. So, okay, I didn't specify the heater. We're now building the job. It's done. Somehow I have an epiphany or I see something and I'm going, oh, wait a minute. We're probably going to need that heater thing, but everything's all done and installed. How much harder is it to put that in now after the fact, or even can you, than it would have been if I would have just been smart enough to specify in the first place?
It's one, depending on when you find out, it's going to cost you the site visit. You know, it's going to cost the client a site visit from a technician who's specialized in doing that. They're probably going to have to take the drawer apart. They have to drill it. At least on our model, you're going to have to drill into the drawer. And it's, that takes a while. You know, if you're doing it after the store is open, your lane's down for that period of time, right? You're losing business, or you're losing efficiency at the very least in your operation. So yeah, that's a multi-hour job. And again, you're just kind of setting everything back. You have that domino effect of just, well, now we got to wait to do this, you know, so.
I would imagine it could potentially also affect adjacent construction, depending on how and where it's installed.
Yeah.
And so that was just a great example, because the next question I'm going to ask you is, so what kinds of things go wrong with your products during construction that if the contractor knew that, or the design professional knew that contractors typically make this mistake, or they don't coordinate this piece, that maybe we can put some precautionary language in our documents to help prevent that from happening? Like, make sure you cover this during the pre-installation meeting or things like that.
Sure.
What kind of issues do you see during construction?
So a lot of them stem from timing or miscommunication about timing or where we're at in the project. Our products arrive crated. We've had them arrive at job sites where the driveway isn't paved yet. And so now they're just sitting in a dirt patch. And if it rains, you know, you've exposed that product to weather and whatever else. So it's really making sure that the site is ready to receive the equipment and that they're pretty much ready to install. We don't want our stuff sitting out there for a long period of time. I think the other huge issue that we come across is making sure the contractor covers everything, secures everything, dirt, grit, all that sort of stuff can build up. If you have a multi-lane system, can get in the tracks for that, can get in the tracks of the drawer if it's not properly covered or protected. Because sometimes these sites will sit built and ready to go, but they're going to sit there for another 2-3 months or whatever the case may be. So it worked when you installed it and it's fine. And then you go to open the store and all of a sudden, you know, that audio system isn't working. The drawer is not working. And your opening is kind of ruined. You can't use the drive-through at least, and you got to have someone come out. So it's really issues around timing that are the big thing. And again, that just comes back to the planning aspect of it. The more that's taken care of ahead of time, hopefully the fewer issues you have on site.
Any other specific installation issues as far as actually putting in your products, your windows or the drawers that you see?
The two big ones.
I can see windows having some things.
Yeah, the two big ones are the rough openings for the windows. It's really bad if the crate has sat there for 6 weeks or whatever, and then they go to install it and the rough opening is wrong, or the window size is wrong, just because whatever reason, there was some disconnect between the architect and the contractor. Well, now that's a rush job to get a new window out there, or they've got to completely redo the rough opening of the building, and that's going to set you back quite a bit. The other issue is if it's a multi-lane system for drive-through, the canopy clearance. I don't want to assume things, but I think there are some assumptions made about, well, it needs to be like this and it'll work this way, or I've done a pneumatic system before. So every solution is different. Make sure you take that into account, because we've been in cases where they've gone to install our Transtrax carrier for a pharmacy, and the canopy clearance, it's just not tall enough to hold the carrier when it goes through or goes over the lanes. So I think those are the big things. And it seems simple, right? It's just the measurements and everything, but just making sure it's very tidy on that end too.
Well, I could even see, because it's something I never really, I don't actually do drawings, so I probably wouldn't screw this up, but in the specifications, but I could see, you know, like a bank drawer system or a pharmacy or whatever, that if you didn't have your lane wide enough for the cars and the drawer to come out, I've seen some places where that's pretty tight fit in there.
Yeah.
That you could have a problem being able to open your drawer properly to do your transactions.
Yeah. We recommend, or depending on the angle of the corner, if it's really tight, we see issues too where people run into the drawer. So we recommend two car lengths of straight travel path after the corner so you don't hit the drawer, because we do get calls from people hitting the drawer. That's why we paint ours red. So hopefully they stand out better. But yeah, I think that's the big thing, is making sure you have bollards out there so that, you know, you can't get that close to the drawer. But drawers getting hit is the number one cause of drawers not working. So.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody's happy when that happens.
Right, right. Yeah, the car, the driver is not happy, and neither is the business. So,
all great information. I learned a lot. Final question. Tell me what's new or exciting or interesting that you would like people to know about, because I got to say it one more time, Bava's Fabricraft.
Say it a thousand times, you know? It's great, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm in love with that name. What's new that you want us to all know that you have going on that we should be looking at?
So we have a few very exciting projects going on right now. We are developing cloud-based integrations for our equipment. So basically giving service techs, the store itself, data and analytics for how many times that drawer has been opened and closed, how many times that carrier has gone out to the second lane or the third lane, and giving service techs the ability to really evaluate a site without going out to the site. So that way, when they show up, they can have the parts ready. You know, there, it saves the business money on a site visit. Also, from a preventative maintenance perspective, think about it like an odometer on your car. You know, every 3,000 miles, you need to get preventative maintenance done. You need that oil change. 5,000 miles now, I guess. But either way, the business can look at it and say, all right, we've got X amount of transactions we've done with this drawer. We need to have someone come out, degrease it, apply new grease, check all the mechanics and everything. So we're working on that, and hopefully that's out at some point this year. I don't want to commit the engineering team to anything, so, but that's on the way. We're also working on new audio solutions. I mentioned that earlier about background noise cancellation for noisy environments. So we're always kind of looking for new ways to improve audio in different applications, whether it's a drive-through or like a way station or distribution center. You know, they all require different kind of solutions to be able to communicate clearly. So working on some things there as well.
Well, thank you, Tyler. It's been a pleasure to have you here today. I appreciate you taking the time to come chat with me and teach me some things. I learned a number of things today, so I'm excited about that. You know, having done this as long as I have, it takes a little bit more to get me excited about a product or whatever than it did back in the day when everything was new to me. So I appreciate that, and I hope you have a great show here at AIA.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.